Our scripture reading this morning will come from Psalms chapter 18, Psalm chapter 18. And you can find that in your bulletins. I've put it there for you from the English Standard Version. I realize that it's smaller letters this time, partly because of the length of the psalm, and this is only one third of the psalm, 1 through 19. There's over 50 verses here, but hopefully you'll be able to follow along with me there as we read from Psalm chapter 18, the Word of God, Psalm chapter 18, the verses 1 through 19. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. Psalm 18, to the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and grouted them. And the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Psalm chapter 18. We find ourselves at times in difficult situations. And how does God answer our prayers? In the Old Testament, we read of various stories in which God would answer prayer, the prayers of his people, in an often spectacular and almighty way. We think of Elijah on Mount Carmel, who, against the prophets of Baal, prayed for God to send fire down from heaven and burn up the altar and lap up the water that was surrounding the altar. And God answered his prayer, and it happened. But does God still respond like that today? We know that God answers prayer sometimes in unusual ways. When we think of God's healing mercies at times for people who are sick, when we think of ways that people have escaped situations, perhaps dangerous situations, and there are stories that way of those who escaped the tornadoes and the tsunami and the various things. But a number of years ago, a representative of the National Day of Prayer came to discuss with me that year's activities. And in preparation for the theme of that year's prayer, the representative read to me a portion of Psalm 18, in particular the first line of verse 13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. The theme of that year's prayer was to say that as we all pray together, nationwide at the same time, and worldwide at the same time, God is going to answer our prayers with thunder from heaven and bring about change in the world we live in. As the prayer time concluded and I thought further of Psalm 18 and the purpose of those prayers in terms of God's answer with thunder, in reflecting further on the psalm, I realized that God in this psalm has already answered that prayer. How has God answered that prayer? Let's look together at Psalm 18. You notice, first of all, in Psalm 18, that there is a historical title. A title which tells us exactly when David sang and prayed this prayer. This is the song of the Lord on the day, we're told, when the Lord rescued David from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David is singing this song as he reflects upon the deliverance of the Lord throughout his life. Some of you know that Psalm 18 is also found at the very end of the books of the Samuels, 2 Samuel chapter 22, the exact same song with a few minor differences as David reflects on the Lord's deliverance in his life. As we look at Psalm 18 and the length of it, we recognize that it is divided, as you will see in the next few weeks, into thirds. And this morning we're focused on the first third of this psalm, and verses 1 through 19 of this psalm is also divided into three sections. If you have a pen or a pencil with you and you look together at Psalm 18, what you see in your bulletins there, you could draw a half circle around verses 1 through 6, a half circle around 7 through 15, and a half circle around 16 through 19. In these three portions of the psalm, we have described for us David's call, 1 through 6, God's answer, 7 through 15, and David's description of God's deliverance, God's salvation, 16 through 19. As we reflect on the first three parts of Psalm 18, we see clearly how David is calling out unto God, and in his prayer, God's answer being given. But let's begin with the first part of Psalm 18, in which David is describing his relationship with God. David begins verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. Notice how many times he uses the word my. 9 images, 9 my's to describe his relationship to God. God, David says, is my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. David is a person, as he writes this song, who has been in the wilderness. He has had to run from King Saul. He has been chased by the Philistines. He has spent many a day among the rocks and in the caves and finding strongholds and using their shields all against the enemies who have sought to kill and destroy David. But now as David begins this psalm and he uses my time after time, 9 times over, he is describing, when he uses the word my, his relationship with God. You see, David recognizes that his relationship with God is like a mirror image. God is his strength, and that strength of God belongs to David. God is like a rock, and David is like a rock as he lives his life. He has the strength and power of a rock. God is his fortress. God is his deliverer. God is his salvation. God is his shield. God is his stronghold. And all of those characteristics that belong to God, David understands himself in relationship to God, that those also belong to him. And because these characteristics of God are now reflected in him, as David begins the song, he recognizes that these characteristics of God, no matter what situation comes to him in his life, are also part of him and belong to him. So as David begins with his description, he declares in verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. But notice as you go to the end of verse 3 that things have changed. David is describing his love for God and his identity with God. But at the end of verse 3, the end of that first strophe, we see him saying, and I am saved from my enemies. David loves God. God has delivered David, and David belongs to God. But in this world, David also has those who hate him, his enemies, King Saul and his other enemies that have hated him. And because David knows he has these enemies, he is calling out to God. Now notice the structure in verse 3 and verse 6. In verse 3, David, we read, is calling upon the Lord. In verse 6, we read that in David's distress, he is calling upon the Lord. The calling in verse 3, the calling in verse 6, brackets the center strophe in verses 4 and 5. David calls in verse 3, he calls in verse 6 because he is in distress. But what is the distress about? Who is David's enemy? We find that in verses 4 and 5, right in the midst of that bracketing. David describes his enemy in verse 4, the cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol, that's the grave, entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In verse 4, the first line, we read about death. In verse 5, the second line, we read about death. David's enemy is death. And as Saul is chasing him through the wilderness, as the Philistines are chasing David throughout the wilderness, they are out for one thing. They want to put David, God's king, God's anointed king, to death. They want him to die. And as David describes this situation in his life, he describes it in a graphic way, a way which describes almost as if someone who is drowning. The cords of death encompass me. They're pulling him down. He can't get out. The torrents of destruction assailed me, like wave after wave is coming upon him in his life. Verse 5, the cords of the grave entangled me. He can't get out. The snares of death confronted me. David feels as if death is all around him. He is encompassed. He is entangled. He cannot get out of it. And death is his enemy. And because he knows death is his enemy, he is calling out to God. Now remember, as David calls out to God, as we sense his desperation, his cry, we recognize that David understands he cannot save himself. At the beginning of the psalm, he's describing the Lord as his strength, his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his shield, the horn of his salvation, his stronghold. But he's got these enemies that surround him, these enemies that want to pull him down to death. And so what does David do? He calls upon the Lord, verse 3. He calls upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and he knows, I am saved from my enemies. How does he know it? Verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And God answered, and God delivered him. Now, before we go on into verse 7 through 15 and look at how God delivered him. Let's go to the end of this section of the psalm, verses 16 through 19, and read the description of God's deliverance that he gave for David. In verse 16, we read, "He sent from on high, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters." Now, we saw the imagery in verse 4 and 5. Death has encompassed him, torrents and cords and entanglement, almost as if he is drowning. Then in verse 16, we see that God from heaven took him. One translation even words it, he took him by the hand and he drew him out of what? The waters. Death is surrounding him like he is about to drown, like he is about to die, and God reaches down from heaven and drew him out of the waters. Verse 17, "He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me." David knows that this salvation God has given him, this deliverance, is nothing about him, nothing that he did on his own. The enemy was too strong. The enemy hated him too much. His strong enemy who wanted to kill him has surrounded him, and only God could rescue him from those cords, those torrents, those snares, that entanglement. Verse 18, "They confronted me," those enemies, "they confronted me in the day of my calamity." They're not helping David. They are confronting him, David says. "But the Lord was my support." David understands at the beginning of this psalm and at the end of this psalm, God's deliverance. This salvation is all of God. And did you notice in these verses 16 through 18 how many times he uses the word "me"? Look how many, verse 16, "He sent from on high and he took me." Verse 16, second line, "He drew me." Verse 17, "He rescued me." Second line, "Those enemies hated me. They were too mighty for me. They confronted me." But David wraps it up in the last one, connecting it with the beginning of the psalm. "But the Lord was my support." In the beginning of the psalm, David is describing his relationship with God. "God is my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold." 9 times he uses the word "my" as he describes God's deliverance and how God has saved him. He practically applies what he has described in verses 1 and 2 to himself. My relationship to God is these 9 my's. And what does it mean for my life? He took me. He drew me. He rescued me. He was my support. David understands from the first strophe until this one here in the middle of the psalm, 16 through 18, he understands his relationship to God and what that means in terms of God's salvation, God's deliverance, how God is his strength, how God is his shield. But how then does God save David? How is it described in terms of David's salvation in Psalm 18? We pointed out in verses 4 and 5 the death which has encompassed David, the drowning. He feels as if he is drowning in death as his enemies surround him. We saw the bracketing in verse 3 and 6 in terms of his calling, his crying out to God for God's help and for God's deliverance. And then in the second part of verse 6 and the verses that follow, we have God's answer. Third line of verse 6, from his temple he heard my voice. Now, the temple at this time in David's life was not yet built. The temple, as you know, was built by David's son Solomon. There was no temple in Jerusalem. That doesn't mean that this psalm was written, perhaps not by David, as liberals would say. No, David is describing the temple from heaven. From his temple, from heaven, God heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. David's cry, the cry of God's servant who is facing his enemies, who is near death, has been heard in heaven itself. And God is responding to that cry. And the way God responds to that cry in verses 7 through 15 is through a theophany. Now, you are familiar with what an Old Testament theophany is. A theophany happened at the burning bush when Moses is confronted by a bush that is burning and doesn't quit burning, and it is an appearance from God into the historical world telling Moses to deliver the people from Egypt. We know at Mount Sinai, there was the theophany of God upon Mount Sinai as the law of God was given to his people with thunder and lightning and power, a theophany. But now as God hears David near death, as he lifts his cry up to heaven, his voice, and it is heard by God, listen to how God responds in verses 7 through 15. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flame forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. Thick clouds, dark with water, out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent his arrows and scattered them, and flashed forth lightnings and grouted them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. When God hears the cry of his servant, who is near death, near drowning in death at the attack of his enemies, as David reflects on his life, he writes of the Lord's theophany deliverance. Why would God deliver him? Why does God respond this way to David's prayer? Because look at verse 19. He brought me out into a broad place, and he rescued me. Why? Because he delighted in me. Nothing about David that qualifies him for this kind of deliverance, nothing that David has done that can enable himself to be delivered. The reason that God delivers David during his life from all the enemies that he faced is because God delighted in him. But now the question put before you is this: when did this happen in David's life? As you read through the theophany, as you listen to different parts of it, we can see theophanies throughout the Old Testament. As we think of the power that took place of the mountain trembling and quaking and the fire and the coals and the smoke, we think of Mount Sinai, the theophany on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. As we look at verse 15 and the channels of the sea were seen and the foundations of the world were laid bare, we think of the theophany there at the Red Sea when the Red Sea was parted into dry land and the Israelites could walk through at the deliverance of God Himself. But when and where? In the book of Samuel and 2 Samuel, the two Samuels, where do we read of a theophany in David's life like this? Did it happen in the wilderness? Did it happen at a time maybe it's not recorded in the Samuels? As David is reflecting upon his life, as this psalm is included in 2 Samuel 22, we recognize that David is describing the deliverance that God brought upon him time and time again as the salvation of God from heaven. As if God is interceding into history and bringing about his salvation for David. And David uses the descriptive language he does to describe the power of God's salvation. Did you notice the comparison of the two in this psalm? As David describes the enemy's attack, death, 2 verses 4 and 5. As David describes God's deliverance, we see verses 7 through 15. David understands the deliverance of God is far more powerful than the deliverance or than the attack of his enemies and the enemy's power. But as we look at the words of this psalm, as we look at the description of this theophany, we recognize that David is not only reflecting on his life and Old Testament events, but David is also a prophet. David is reflecting on the entire salvation of God, which is yet and still to come. At the beginning of this sermon, we mentioned, how does God answer prayer today? Oh, we would like to think that perhaps we go back to that Old Testament era and we pray and God will answer like he answered it during the days of Elijah. Or that God will do something in the shaking of the world as he did in the shaking at Mount Sinai. But we also must understand that God has already answered us in this way. Look again at verse 9. He bowed the heavens and came down. Some translations worded, I think, better that he separated or broke the heavens and came down. Verse 10. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly in the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. You see, David understands as a prophet that a great theophany is yet to come. That he is only a man. That someone in his line, a greater king, a son of God, would come down. And this son of God, this God with us, this theophany of fulfillment, God with us, would come down and ultimately bring his salvation. Look at Matthew chapter 27, particularly verse 45, or listen to these words. Now the sixth hour, at the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's our Savior's cry. And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let's see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. And did God hear that cry? Behold, verse 51, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That temple is no longer needed. This cry was heard in heavenly realms itself. The earth shook, the rocks were split, the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly this was the Son of God. Psalm 18 is not just speaking of David and his earthly deliverance. Psalm 18, as David writes it, is describing the deliverance, the theophany deliverance of all of God's people. For all of God's people understand that their greatest enemy is death. That death without God surrounds them. Death encompasses them. Death entangles them. The cords of death, the snares of death are all around them, and they cannot save themselves. And as sinners who are worthy of death, they cry out to God for God's deliverance. And God, when he hears that cry, responded. He came down from heaven in the sending of his Son. When God knows that his people are facing death and eternal death, God responded in a powerful way. The earth reeled and rocked, verse 7. The foundations of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him, and all that wrath of God for sin came down upon Jesus on that cross. And when God poured out his wrath upon the one who came down from heaven, God's Son, Jesus Christ, and paid for the sins of his people in that greatest theophany, which fulfills all of them, his wrath paid for your sins and the sins of all his people. And God did it because he delighted in you. Verse 16, from on high, he took you. You surrounded by the cords of death, drowning in the waters, he drew you out from on high when he sent his Son down to earth to pay for your sins. He rescued you, verse 16, from your strong enemy, from those who hated you, Satan, who wants you to die and go to eternal death. He, Satan, is too mighty for you. He confronts you each day in telling you that you are a sinner and not worthy of this. But the Lord is your support. The Lord, you see, is your strength, your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your salvation, your stronghold, your shield. All of these things that David describes at the beginning of this psalm are things that belong to you. David understands these things belongs to him because he is a mirror, a reflection of God himself, and he knows that he is in relationship with God. And how does David know that? He describes it for us in this psalm. It is because God has saved him from death. You know that God is your strength, your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your salvation, your stronghold, because God has saved you from death. You know it because God sent his Son Jesus Christ down to earth, that the theophany that fulfills all of the Old Testament ones took place on the cross of Calvary when God's wrath came upon him to pay for your sins so you could be freed from the tangles of death. He rode the cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. Darkness was put under his feet. Out of the brightness, verse 12, before him. The brightness of the resurrection, of victory over death. So that you would be saved from on high. Can you identify with these words of which this psalm begins in Psalm 18? The Lord is my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my shield, my salvation, my stronghold. If you say those words, if you know those words because you are in relationship to God, for your sins are paid for, you can identify with the salvation that David describes. You can identify with the understanding of the strength that David knows in his life because he belongs to God. Can you sing the words of that hymn? Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Psalm 18 describes the salvation a believer knows has come to him from heaven through God's Son. May David's story be your story. May your life identify with his. May you find your strength in God himself. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace to us, which has come in our Savior. We rejoice in the words of David, for in Psalm 18 we see our Savior. We see your wrath, which was poured upon him. We have come to understand your grace, your mercy, your strength, which has come to us because you have paid for our sins, because your wrath went upon the Savior. Lord, we rejoice that you have delivered us from the cords of death. We rejoice, O Lord, that you are our strength, our rock, our fortress, our salvation. May you grant us, Lord, an understanding each and every day of what this means, that we may know that we cannot save ourselves, but only because you delighted in us can we know this salvation forevermore. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.